I just look forward to this every Sunday. You guys are my favorite people to worship with. I mean, you know, there's something to be said to going to some big conference or worship event. I love the Let Us Worship thing. All those are things. But there's also something awesome about the consistency of every week, like worshiping with your family, worshiping with your dear friends, you know, worshiping you with your church. It's just an expression that's, I don't know. If you ask me, it's like no other. You know what I mean? So, all right, everybody else having a good weekend? Yeah. What's up, Ricky? Good to see you. And all our people online. We love you, Kims and Parishes and Forsters and Chuck and Janet and all the others. So, so good to have everybody. Man, I believe God is doing some remarkable things. It just all depends on the way that you choose to see it. That's really it. Anybody's eyes get touched this morning? Or you feel something, the thyroid issues or anything? All right, well, that's okay. Because, you know, one thing I'm going to get into in a few minutes is, you know, John the Baptist's dad, Zechariah. God came to him. The angel appeared to him. And it didn't go so well at first, but just like the rest of us, it's like, how, God? Like, how are my eyes going to be healed? When? Who? What? You know, all these things. And as a priest, he couldn't stand there and speak fear and speak unbelief. And he asked for a sign. So God gave him a sign. All right. You're not going to talk for a while until my purpose has come to pass. Then the very next passage, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Does she ask God how? Yes, she does. Does she need something supernatural, extraordinary? Oh, yeah. How can a virgin bear a child? That's the message. She asks how also, but what does she get? She gets just the opposite. The Lord implants his seed in her womb. We know the story, right? And so what stands out to me, I'm sort of getting ahead of myself here in the message. That's okay, because we'll circle back around, is at the word of the Lord, be it unto me. What I see is it's not just the question that we ask. It's the heart behind that question. Everybody asks how. Everybody asks who. I don't think God's upset about that. What God wants to see, though, is there skepticism? Is there fear in your asking, or is there faith? And this morning I'm titling this Isaiah 40, part 2. You know, last week was part 1 on Isaiah 40. Subtitle, Hearing and Becoming the Voice of Jesus. Hearing and becoming the voice of Jesus. Because that's it. Mary heard, Zechariah heard. But only one of those immediately became something that they heard. Okay, let me just dive into that. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would hover over these words this morning. God, even just bypass my mind here this morning, God, and we just ask you to speak directly from your heart, Lord. Amen. Amen. And by the way, update on Chapel Hill High football team. The end of the line came this Friday. They lost by a touchdown, but that's okay. It was a glorious time. Gabe's last ever career game there as a high school senior. And we had some tears and some celebrations. But you know what? It was all right. Because we were at the beach, baby. We were down in Shiloh near Holden Beach. So we got to stay overnight and put our feet in the sand yesterday and then drive home. Tracy and Daniel joined us. They're still there. They came, but yeah, they fell short, but it's all right. It was a great experience, wasn't it, Ben? Where's Ben at? I think he went back and gave. So, but, you know, just a reminder, last week, here's the thing. That seer anointing that I spoke of last week, somebody, one prophet, prophetic person said he saw it being released throughout the earth with the passing of the prophet Bob Jones back in 2014. I don't know, but whatever this is, the seer prophetic anointing will lead us into this healing anointing of Jesus. And the healing anointing is going to release a mighty power that's going to be a testimony and a sign. A testimony and a sign. And it's right here on this congregation. If. Everybody say if. If. That's a scary word, but it's easy. If we want it. If we want it and we respond in faith and not fear. The love of Jesus that we've been marinating this morning, it's gonna wreck us. What Abby was writing about and speaking of, the love of Jesus, the testimony of tears, the burden of tears, the burden of prayer, it's gonna wreck us. The love of Jesus instead of the disdain of Jonah. Remember that from last week? The love of Jesus instead of the disdain of Jonah. Sarah was pointing out to me this week as we were reading the parable of the lost son. You know, the prodigal son. About the elder brother. Remember the elder brother in the story? The son went out and wastes everything. He comes back. The father, of course, shows nothing but mercy. Throws a big party. And the elder brother's like, oh, scoff, disdain. Why didn't you ever do that for me? She's like, it's almost like Jonah. It's almost like Jonah. Like he saw mercy being given, and the elder brother, religious heart, wanted judgment. He wanted to give him what he deserves. But the father's heart was never that. Lord, let it be our heart. Continue to let that thing marinate on you. Anytime you feel the other, the disdain, check it. Take that thought to Jesus. Take that, Lord. Okay, Lord, I recognize. Now give me the mind of Christ. Give me the mind of Christ. Hey, Chris, since you're back there, could you punch that thermostat up a degree or so? And then maybe Abby on this side. This room is really hard to regulate, y'all. I don't know. I'm sorry. But so the Lord's just going to continue to do that. And, you know, Deborah, you spoke of that glory cloud there. Habakkuk 2:14, thousands of years ago, that prophet towards the latter end of the Old Testament said, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just as the waters cover the sea." The earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters covered the sea during Noah's flood. Noah's family, a time of destruction and judgment. They were in the ark for how many days and nights? Well, if you can't guess it, the title of this series, 40. 40 days and nights, this water of judgment and destruction once covered the earth. Waters of the Holy Spirit of redemption will cover the earth. And this is our inheritance. This is what we have to look forward to. As we were singing that song about 1,000 generations, I was like, 1,000 generations? Think about that. We stand on the shoulders of 1,000 generations. If a generation is 40 years biblically, how many years is that? A lot. 40,000? 1,000 generations. Is that just a song? Or is that a prophecy? I believe it's Bible. It's Bible.
Yes.
We stand on the shoulders of 1,000 generations singing, "Worthy is the King of Kings.
Yes.
Worthy is the Lamb of Lambs. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the reward of his suffering." You're that reward. We are that reward. Today, Isaiah 40 verse 8, put that up there. Isaiah 40 verse 8, if you're not already there, you can click in Isaiah 40. I'm in the New Living Translation. It says, "The grass withers and the flowers fade," but read this last phrase with me, "but the word of our God stands forever." The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Hey, Abby, what you wrote down, it stands forever. Hey, Jeremy, what you received, it stands forever. Deborah, Ben, Tavitras, everyone in this room, what you journal, what you feel this morning, the Word of God stands forever. I mean, you talk about 1,000 generations, it's beyond that. It's eternal. The Word of God stands forever. And the Word of God being made manifest in our life is reliant upon hearing it. That's first. We learn to hear, right? My sheep hear my voice. You learn to hear it, and then what do you do with it? You stand on it, you chew on it, but eventually God says, now, prophet, I'm not calling you a prophet, but we're all kings and priests. Now, kings and priests, declare it. Amen. Speak my word into the atmosphere. Do you believe in prayer? I do too. You're sitting here, you probably believe in prayer. But what is that? It's coming into agreement with what God is saying, what He's praying, what He's putting in your heart to pray. When you pray about, something shifts in the atmosphere. This was the power of the song over Israel that Pamela was tapping into, and the declaration and the roar that arose out of our hearts. It's not just a physical hip hip hurrah, like, yeah, we're getting excited because that's what we do in church or something. No, there's something supernatural about that. It begins to shift things. Did you know we have a large, for example, we have a large Jewish community in the town of Chapel Hill. Did anybody know that? In fact, it's so large. I got confused when our kids have been in the Chapel Hill Carborough school system when we first came to town and we were in it because they had this random day off. I was like, who has teacher work days like on a Tuesday? And then I find out, oh, it's Rosh Hashanah. Or, you know, oh, it's Yom Kippur. I don't think it's Yom Kippur. It's one of the holy days of Judaism, you know. That's how strong the Jewish influence is. So when Pamela, who I know her and her husband David, who's Jewish, been very involved in the Jewish community here, when she's praying that, not only am I thinking of Israel, and I mean, that's awesome too. But I'm thinking right here, this sound, this roar, this prayer that we're praying, it's making an impact. It's shifting atmospheres. Who knows? Just like we prayed over grandmothers, just like T's testimony. Who knows what Jewish man, woman, or child has a dream with Yeshua tonight? And it begins to shift everything. Maybe we'll never know about it. Maybe when we get to heaven, maybe we'll know. Maybe we will. Right? But who would have made the connection? The power of prayer just when we sit down and we talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Oh, it reminds me of a new song out. If you've got that up there, get ready to play that. Because Brandon Lake sings this song at a church in Charlotte with Maverick City Music. And while they're getting that ready, I'll just read you some lyrics from it. He's talking about the power of prayer, and you're going to hear it. He's going to go through the generations. Okay, speaking of the generations, the grandmother, I think the mother or father, and then down to a child or a teenager, about what the power of prayer is like. And here's one of the phrases that he sings. There's no wrong way to do it. There's no bad time to start. It don't have to sound pretty. Just tell him what's on your heart. Because it's not a religion. Oh, it's more like a friendship.
Come on.
Just talk to your father like you are his kid. Just start talking to Jesus. Just start talking to Jesus. We have that thing ready? Oh, there we go. Come on, y'all enjoy this. This is awesome.
Grandma used to pray out loud by your bed every night. To me it sounded like mumbling, like she was out of her mind. She said, boy, this kind of praying is what saved my life. You ought to try it sometime. And now I know she was right. She was talking to Jesus. She was talking to Jesus. She'd been talking to Jesus for all of her life. Mama used to drag me to church Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Khaki pants and a polo shirt. Boy, I put up a fight. She said, son, one day you'll thank me for having God in your life. And yeah, I know she was right. Yeah, my mama was right. Cause now I'm talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. Yeah, my mama was right. Cause now I'm talking to Jesus. Yeah, I love talking to Jesus. And I'll be talking to Jesus for the rest of my life. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Don't you know? What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, I've got three of my own now, trying to raise them upright. My oldest is 15, and I remember what that was like. Trying to deal with the trauma, trying to figure out the questions in life. And I've been looking for a way to show him how to make it all right. Then he walks in my room while I was singing my prayers the other night. He said, I'll come back later. I can tell you got a lot on your mind. I said, it's not an interruption. You couldn't have picked a better time. Cause I was just talking to Jesus. Come over and give it a try. We started talking to Jesus. Start talking to Jesus.
So that right there to me is like number one parenting tip I could ever give anyone is talk to Jesus and just invite your children in, you know? And I believe that that's what we get the opportunity of doing. I mean, that's just such an awesome evangelistic tool is that we could pray. I called my older son, Judah. Who I used to, what the thing was that we loved to do was get in the car and turn on worship music. Because he loves worship music. He sends me a lot of these songs. And we get in the car and we will just, he's my kid that he will all out worship with me. And it's just like something I've never, I mean, it's just amazing. I called him the other day and I said, Judah, have you listened to this song? And he was like, what song? And I said, Talking to Jesus. And he was like, oh, Mom, I'm way ahead of you. I am so way ahead of you. And I said, well, it's awesome. And, you know, he's getting ready to get married. And I was like, I kind of wish we could, like, you know how they do the mother-son dance? He's like, Mom, I think we're going to do something more fun than that. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's true. But that is such an awesome song. He was like, yeah, especially where it says, the sun comes in, and I'm like, exactly, I'm a mess when I listen to that. And he said, yeah, because then it says, we started talking to Jesus. And I'm like, yes. You know, it's just like that. Let us talk to Jesus. Yeah. Let us talk to Jesus. That we would talk to Jesus, and that we would allow the generations upon generations upon generations to catch the crave of his presence.
Yes.
Catch the crave of his presence. So I just, woo! Y'all get that song, okay? And listen to it and just let it marinate you, okay? Because it will. You'll find yourself, like Matthew says, he's going to probably share this too in a minute, but that you find yourself just out around and being like, talk to Jesus. We started talking to Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, woo.
And I just think, too, when the media in the world preaches us a message, a different message about young people and generations. Remember that video.
Come on.
Just remember, there's thousands upon thousands.
Yeah.
There's an army of every race, nation, and creed talking to Jesus.
Yeah.
They're learning to talk to Jesus. We just heard from them on the back row this morning. They're learning to talk to Jesus. This is the answer, Lord. This is the answer for America. They're talking to Jesus, y'all.
Yeah.
So on Wednesday morning, I went out to exercise, and there's lots of trails in our area, you know, so I just picked this one I had never been on and went beside this barn and went through the woods trying to follow the map. And I'm out there and I don't have my AirPods on or anything. This song is just on repeat in my heart. You know, so I'm just walking. It's a beautiful morning. You know, it's about 60 degrees. The sun's shining. The birds are chirping. I'm just walking along trying to get my workout on, you know, and I'm just mumbling. I started talking to Jesus. I started talking to Jesus. Started talking to Jesus for the rest of my life. You know, I'm just singing this over and over. And then all of a sudden, I get to this one part of the trail, and this big horned owl, you know, those big horned, they're the largest owls we have in North Carolina. This big horned owl, all of a sudden over here goes, hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo, you know, this whole call. Okay, I'm like, wow, Jesus, you know. And then, wait, that's not the end. But then another horned owl, that was over on my right, another horned owl over on my left goes back and responds, hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo-hoo. And I'm like, whoa, okay, it's not only Jesus out here. Proverbs 8:1, listen as wisdom calls out, hear as understanding raises her voice. It's not my text this morning. Go read all of Proverbs 8. It's amazing wisdom for us right now. Young people, old people alike, and all in between. Amazing wisdom. You know, the owl. I was like, God is speaking. Who has an ear? God is speaking what he's communicating with us in all kinds of ways. And to go on in Isaiah 40, man, I just want to talk to Jesus. I just want to talk to Jesus. Woo! Woo! Is that Wednesday night? Is it the third Wednesday? Is it prayer night?
Yeah, it is.
Is that this Wednesday?
It is. We have to come again to do some worship.
Yeah.
Okay, so this Wednesday with another church, come talk to Jesus.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking to Jesus this Wednesday night for the Chapel Hill House of Prayer, or the Chop House for short. But Isaiah, in his prophecy, verse 5, you have that verse 5. Go to the next slide, I think it is. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. Remember Habakkuk that I read? The knowledge of the glory of the Lord? And we're all going to see it together, y'all. Come on, in the South, we're all going to see it together, y'all. Why? Because the Lord has spoken. And he said to Isaiah, a voice said, shout. I asked, what should I shout? He said, shout that people, yes, they are like grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. And in my late 40s, I approach 50, you know, it starts to fade a little bit. All that natural beauty that I once had. But as the glory fades, the grass withers, the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. The grass withers, the flowers fade. But guess what? It is with the Word of God. The Word of our God stands how long? We've already read it this morning. It stands forever. So we started talking to Jesus. We kept talking to Jesus. Because everything that he says stands forever. It's simple, but it's true. It'll change your life. Just keep talking to him and wait until he talks back. And keep working with that word. I don't have this on the screen, Eric. I added it later. But I noticed that Peter, remember old Peter, right? From The Chosen, right? Peter from the Bible as represented in The Chosen. An ornery guy, you know, an old fisherman, hard-headed. Took him forever to get through, Jesus to get through to him. But, you know, he preached on the day of Pentecost. He got it. As an old man, he writes a letter, 1 and 2 Peter, right? This isn't up here, but listen to these two verses. He says, Peter speaks of this. He says, "For you have been born again, but not a life that will quickly end. In fact, we never die. Your new life will last forever." Your new life. Becky was talking about this. Becky Wicker, a pastor in Mooresville, she was preaching this message. She goes, "The truth is, this is the glorious gospel for Christians. You never die. You never die. In fact, the day you die, you just pass on. You pass over. You never stop being you. You start consciously thinking your thoughts, but you see a whole new reality. Hallelujah. This is the hope of heaven, but this is the focus here. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living words of God. As the scriptures say, and this is where Pete quotes Isaiah from that hundreds of years before this. "People are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever." And that word is the good news that was preached to you. That's what Peter says. That word was the good news. Well, guess what? You don't get to just receive the good news one time when you get saved. Every day is good news. Every day that God speaks to my heart in whatever way, I don't care if it's an owl or it's through Michael Fahm or the still small voice or the scripture that I'm marinating on, that is good news. Thank you, God. Even if everything in my life is bad news, there's still good news. It all depends on the way that we hear. In verse 9 of Isaiah 40, "O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops." Woo, come on. Maybe we'll get to go on a mountain one day and shout. "Shout it louder, O Jerusalem, shout." And listen to this, "Don't be afraid."
Come on. Yeah.
There's no fear in this. Yeah. The word of God, there's no fear in the word of God.
Amen.
Now remember, these people, Peter, Jesus, they went through really rough times. You know the stories in the Bible.
Yeah.
They're not afraid. He walks with us through the valley, even the valley of the shadow of death. "Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming." Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming out in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. I love this one. "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young." What a friend we found in Jesus. What a friend we found in Jesus. What a friend we found in Jesus. Oh. Talking to Jesus, it's on YouTube for free, so just look that up. Yeah, going, it's right there. Zechariah, I mentioned him earlier. John the Baptist, dad, not the prophet from the Old Testament. He was a member of the priestly order. His wife, Elizabeth, was Mary, the mother of Jesus, his cousin. He was old. Who's old in here? All right. Don't raise your hand. That's not it. It doesn't fit any description. He was old, and his wife, Elizabeth, could not get pregnant. What does that remind you of? It's an Abraham and Sarah type, right? It's like, oh no, God said it, but we need an extraordinary miracle. We need God to break through supernaturally.
Yeah.
And he was chosen to go into the Holy of Holies and minister and burn incense. And this is a big deal because as the translator of the Passion Translation, Brian Simmons, writes, "Some have said there were 20,000 priests in Christ's time, so that no priest would ever offer incense more than once. This was a once-in-a-lifetime moment for Zechariah. Isn't that something? A once-in-a-lifetime. You get one shot to go into the Holy of Holies. The burning of incense before the Lord, the prayers, was done twice daily, once in the morning and once in the afternoon. And you know, an angel appeared to Zechariah and he shook with fear. And picking up here in the story quickly, this is Luke 1:11. Luke 1:11. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, Luke 1:11, if you have that, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah." If angels are speaking in this room this morning, I think they might be saying the same thing to you and I. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Matthew. You're all right. Don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. That's a word. God has heard your prayer. God has heard your prayer. The Greek verb there allows for a possible translation, listen to this, of God has heard the prayer that you don't even pray anymore. God has heard, Zechariah, the prayer that you gave up on years ago. Anybody got a prayer like that? The prayer you no longer feel faith for. The person that you feel is hopelessly lost. The situation that has grown desperately grim and dark. The prayer you don't even pray anymore. Guess what, church? Don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son. There will be ministries birthed. There will be prayers answered. There will be children and grandchildren going to the nations. God's not done with the missions from the United States of America. There will be babies born spiritually and physically. And you're to name him John. You'll have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks, because he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Many have believed that in the second coming of Christ, perhaps we are that type of forerunner generation. Like Malachi prophesied that in those days, he was speaking of John the Baptist, there would come a forerunner, there would come one that would turn the hearts of the fathers to their sons, their children, and the hearts of the sons to the fathers, lest the Lord strike the earth with a curse. No, the curse is broken by the cross and the blood of the Lamb. Zechariah, though, said to the angel, "How can I be sure this is going to happen?" Subtext, my wife old. Baby factory shut down. Hello. Who would not think that way though? I mean, let's don't put judgment on Zechariah. This is a very difficult word to get, yes? It's supernatural. I'm an old man. My wife is also well along in years. And the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God." Now, I would like to think if Gabriel's standing there telling me that perhaps I'd have a little bit more faith, but I don't know. "It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent, unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Keep talking to Jesus. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why it was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. Again, as I said up front earlier, Brian Simmons writes about this, that since Zechariah asked for a sign, rather than believe the word of the Lord, he was given the sign of silence. Unbelief keeps a priest from speaking until faith arises. Unbelief keeps a priest from speaking until faith arises. Not necessarily to go mute for us, like in this situation, but it holds back all the power of those words that God wants to use from us. When, like Zechariah, we with the wrong heart go, well, how? I mean, you know, you don't understand, God. You don't know what I know. Oh, wait, yes, actually you do. Remember, you remember back to Peter. Remember what he said in 1 Peter 2:9. This is a familiar verse, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. Tap your neighbor and say, you the priest. You the priest. Yeah. He tore all that down. The veil was torn. You remember that? Do you know that? That's what that was for. That was a sign to say, unlike Zechariah, who waited his turn as born into the priesthood and then his once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go through that veil. Veil's torn. Now all of us have the access. We all go boldly in because we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. Look at it in the Passion Translation. I love this verse so much, I got to read it again. But you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. For at one time, you were not God's people, but now you are. At one time, you knew nothing of God's mercy because you hadn't received it yet. But now, you're drenched with it. Started talking to Jesus. God has heard your prayers like Zechariah. Yet, if we won't believe when the answer comes, we lose our power of agreement. And it's almost as if we become mute. But notice, it wasn't punishment that he became mute, was it? It was actually a blessing because the word of the Lord needed to go forward. So if Zechariah were to speak through unbelief, it would hinder what God wanted to accomplish. It's important as priests like Zechariah, we're talking with Jesus, that we believe and speak the word of God, lest we lose our voice like Zechariah. Now, Mary, on the other hand, can you guys give me 5 more minutes? Yeah. All right, fine. All right, thanks. Mary, on the other hand, she found favor with God. An angel appeared and spoke the words from God. Here was her response in that same chapter, Luke 1:34. The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and you will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth," there you go, Zechariah's wife, "has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. Why? Because the word of God will never fail. That's the next verse. Did it go up there? For the word of God, the word of God will never fail. And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, there's so much in this. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy." Here's the last verse I'm going to read. "You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. You're blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Last point, when we ask how or why, it's important what happens next. It's important that we hear and we believe what God answers us. I don't think it's ever wrong to ask how or why. Mary did. But it's important then what we do with the answer that we receive. Because isn't that Zachariah's problem? God gave him the right answer, but this heart was like, I don't know about that. Here's the key. Well, I just gave it to you. Zachariah and Mary both asked this, but yet one asked with a believing heart, sincerely wanting to hear the spiritual explanation. That's the thing. Sometimes I don't know if I really want to hear truthfully what God's going to say. And the other asked with a skeptical heart, not believing that the impossible was probable. Where is your heart on the spectrum? What do you do when you hear God speak? Do you agree and get to a place to proclaim it? Or do you skeptically, conveniently, maybe little by little forget it? Let me finish with the rest of Isaiah 40, 21 through 31. I can read fast. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf? Are you deaf to the words of God? The words he gave before the world began. Are we so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root when he blows on them and they wither. The wind carries off like a chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling earth by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Oh, Jacob! How can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will grow weary and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, or maybe like that hoot owl that I heard this afternoon. They might not soar so much. They'll hoot like an owl. They'll soar like an eagle. Let's go with that one. They will run and they won't grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Amen. You guys stand up with me. You guys stand with me. It's Ben, Jeremy. I know Abby had to go to work. Deborah, you guys come back up here. You're going to be our ministry team this morning. I just want to ask everybody, are you talking to Jesus? This isn't a message on just like devotional prayer. I mean, like, are you talking to Jesus? Are you really talking to Jesus? What is he saying? And what are you doing with what God has said? What is he saying? And what are you doing with what God has said? Let's pray. God, we just thank you for your words. Your words are everlasting. Your words never fail. And your words go on forever, forever and ever. And I pray, God, that like seed planted in the ground right now in the springtime, like seed that will one day be harvested. God, I pray that every seed that you've planted, you're planting and you will plant in all of our hearts, that they would be rooted, grounded, and bear much fruit. Holy Spirit, will you come and water the seeds this morning? Water the seeds of life, God. All who have grown discouraged or disillusioned, God, we ask you to break it off. And like the parable of the sower, that seed would find fertile soil of faith. Fertile soil. We just thank you, God. Amen. Amen.